Welcome to today's ILTA podcast on obtaining support from leadership around information governance, knowledge management, and enterprise content management initiatives. This is one of a series of podcasts on this topic. My name is Brian Clayton, CIO of Taft, Attenis, and Hollister, and I'll be moderating this series. Today, we'll discuss this topic with Matt Codney at WilmerHale. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about your role and how long you've been in this role?
Sure. Thanks, Brian. I'm a Director of Business Relationship Management here at WilmerHale, and I've been at the firm for 4 years and in my current role for the past two. Before that, I worked at LexisNexis for 5 years, working with enterprise search and content management solutions for law firms.
Well, in your current role, how much of your time is spent on evangelizing these initiatives?
Sure. Our team is responsible for many of the firm's change initiatives. So combined, we each spend about half of our time on any given week evangelizing initiatives. We each have, I'd say, three or four major initiatives at any given time. And so we keep pretty busy. And we are really responsible end-to-end for that change journey. So at the front end, we often are the ones developing the business cases with practice and administrative departments. We're building support from firm executives to get that approval and funds. And then just as importantly, once the project kicks off, we switch gears to thinking about how to make change stick. And that includes things like marketing, communications, training, and adoption.
Do you have any initiative where your approach was important that you feel would be a good sample for the listeners?
Sure. When I joined the firm in 2011, the firm had merged back about 7 years prior to that, and they were still on two separate time entry systems. Both were outdated, about 8 years old each. And so one of the first initiatives that I had at the firm was to select and move to a new single time entry system. And this was a daunting challenge to start with. It was we have about 2,000 individuals that use the time entry application spread out across a dozen offices. We needed to train them on the new software, introduce a new mobile app, and then for at least half the population, it was a significant change in behavior. The old system they used was very different than these new systems that we were looking at. So I was really fortunate to work with a really good project manager and training manager who were both not only good at running the project itself, but were also really gifted change leaders. And they taught me a lot. They coached me through the whole process. So the approach we found that worked best was identifying and including stakeholders very early in the project and giving them a voice through advisory and focus groups and other types of meetings. And we found that engaging them, hearing their feedback, incorporating that, really made a difference because when we went to launch the initiative, they were right by our side as these sort of vocal change advocates, and they really helped peer-to-peer trust in the initiative change that we were pushing. We also communicated a lot, but the key we found was keeping it timely and personalized so it didn't come across as sort of technology or project spam. We tried to make it tuned to them. We structured a whole approach around what they needed to know before and after the deployment, and then had continuing education, things like refresher training and quick tips that actually continue to this day. My last bit of advice, though, is to not go it alone. Tap into others, whether they be at your firm, at other firms, or in a completely different industry, and learn from them. They're going to be willing to give back to you, help change management spread in an organization, and you'll grow tremendously as a result of that.
Have you experienced any resistance from firm leadership on any particular initiatives, and how are you able to convince them?
Sure. Yes, I think most everybody probably has at least at one point in their lives. For me, I found that, particularly in a law firm, the best approach really is to not take an aggressive, direct selling motion. That tends to people resist that, particularly in law firms. And so to be successful, a more nuanced and gradual approach often works better. What we found best was starting with small, limited pilots can often be viewed by management as a reversible experiment. They're not committing to this grand strategy. And what you can do is build up this small group of advocates that can help spread enthusiasm for you. And you keep building that momentum until you reach a tipping point when you have enough energy, enough examples of people that are clamoring for this change, that you then take it forward to your executives, the people leading the firm, and sell the change, sell the vision with this list of people behind you that support and want it.
Do you ever feel that any of the initiatives commonly get finished, or do they seem to always have some type of need of a continued effort?
They always seem to have some type of need that goes far beyond that initial project. So I'd like to describe this as a long tail. If you think of a graph that shows, say, the level of effort or the adoption of a given change over time, there's this initial spike that occurs with that initial push, the project. And what you find, though, is after that initial push to actually reach your objective in terms of adoption, it's a lot of gradual time. It's a lot of effort that goes on long past that initial push. And where I've seen change initiatives fail is we forget about that. We claim victory after that initial push, the project team disbands, and then no one's really left carrying that change forward. And it takes a lot of time and effort for change to become a real part of the organization's fabric. So as a change leader, you should always be thinking about what more different, what else can you do? Road shows to practice group meetings, quick tip campaigns, engaging new lawyers and staff, or a new executive joins the firm, always be thinking about ways to re-engage. And I found the most critical piece for an initiative to succeed is having a passionate, active business owner, someone that can commit the time and resources to see this long tail through long after the project team goes away.
How have any changes in the legal profession impacted your ability to build support for and execute change initiatives?
So I see this as a bit of a double-edged sword. On one hand, there's definitely a sagging demand in legal services overall. The entire profession has seen it. And talking with some of my colleagues at different vendors, they've felt that sagging demand correlate to sort of a reduced amount in where firms are willing to invest in new solutions. But there's an opportunity here for firms that are willing to try new things, to experiment, and to leapfrog competition. And so the onus is really on each of us as change leaders to build a solid business case for the initiative that really paints a clear, compelling story about why the firm would benefit from this. And it's really just, it's good business sense, but I think it's a shift in mindset for many in the legal profession to really have to back up a partner's desires for a particular piece of technology with a real business plan. And so that, it's good in that.
Just continuing down that path just a little bit further, how have you dealt with sharing your enthusiasm, your approach with other team members so you can spread yourself out thinner? Have you been able to do that as far as reach more or some of these continued efforts, bring more people into the project or into that effort so that you can get more done, I guess, or reach deeper into that project?
Absolutely, and that's a great point. There's way too much to be done on any change initiative for one person to be successful. There's not that singular mythical hero that will lead the initiative to then. It really relies on that team, and in order to get the team on board, it has a lot to do with a couple of things. You need to listen first, listen to their perspectives, empathize about what they need out of this project, what they're looking for, and then sell them on the vision, sort of where we're heading, why we're doing this, and get them bought in. You can't do anything else until you've done that. And that takes a lot of time up front that people often neglect, and they just want to jump right into the technical implementation. But once you have those individuals on board, back to sort of my experience of being mentored on one of my first change initiatives, mentoring others, so helping others, coaching them through it, spending the time to not only talk through the importance of why awareness and communication matters, why one email is not considered enough for communication, and just spending the time with them building that maturity in each individual, then that will be amplified tenfold when that person then goes and does the same thing for somebody else and somebody else. So that sort of ripple effect starts with you taking the time up front to empathize and coach each team.
Great. Do you have any good books or materials about leading change that you would recommend?
I do. As you can tell, I'm a little passionate about the subject, And there are a number of great business leadership, change management books, and also any books about startup or entrepreneurship also apply in being in what's called an intrapreneur here, leading change in an organization. One of the best ones still is a book called Leading Change. It's from John Carter, who's a Harvard Business School professor. It sets out a very clear, understandable roadmap for increasing your chance for success on change. He has another book called Buy-In. That's also very helpful in this area. Lastly, I mentioned earlier, it's a concept around an anthropologist or a design, it's called design thinking. And this is an approach that's championed by a design firm, IDEO, and it really helps you think about change and innovation from the lens of the people that you're serving, that the change is going to. So it's a great book. It's called 10 Faces of Innovation. It's by one of their founders, Tom Kelly. And it really helps you understand how to immerse yourself in your stakeholders' shoes.
Any parting thoughts for the audience?
Yes, leading change is probably one of the most frustrating and most rewarding aspects of my work. You need a lot of passion and just perseverance to see it through, because there's so much more effort over such a longer period of time than I think anybody realizes when they get into it. But it's worth it at the end, because you have a gratifying feeling seeing a new technology or a new process stick and become part of that culture.
Thank you, Matt. I'm hopeful our audience today found as much value from this discussion as I did. Please check back for more in this series of discussions. We look forward to you joining us then.